Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them. You throw your arms around them. You give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. It's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
It's time for the Phone Restore Call of the Day, brought to you by our good friends at Phone Restore. You can check them out on the old website, phonerestore.com, or right here locally. Their street address is 900 Bob Wallace Avenue for any of your phone and or computer needs. If your phone's not working quite the way you need it to be, or neither is your computer, if you got the cracked screen on the tablet or the phone, very much recommend the guys at Phone Restore. They do pretty darn great work. In fact, Cole went to go see them not that long ago to have them work on his computer, and he was quite pleased with them. Last night, the Atlanta baseball Braves were going for the opportunity to go above 500 for the first time since June 1st, 2015. That is, right, if you're counting 25 and a half months ago. And unfortunately...
Oh, that didn't work out?
Socked to center, over the head of Inciarte. Not going to run this one down, back toward the wall, and gone. Clears the yellow line. It's a line drive home run to straightaway center for Anthony Rizzo. Solo shot, 3-1 Cubs.
And the Atlanta Braves would go going down to the Cubs, 4-3. Although the Braves did make a game of it in the bottom of the ninth. They left the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. It was 4-3 the final, and the Braves fall under 500 yet again. They'll try to get back up to 500 against the Cubs tonight at 6:20 right here on the ump, and you can hear all that coverage starting again at 6:20, first pitch around 6:37. That game was delayed by about an hour for rain last night. And
yeah, interesting... I had to listen to an Andrew Jones interview talking about Bobby Cox.
Well,
next channel.
You gotta feel a little bit. That's TV channel, right? That was on the TV, right?
Correct. Yes.
Because I was watching a little bit not too long ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, that they were replaying like John Smoltz on the golf course talking with Tom Glavine. Like, what year is this? We need to go away. We need to not put this on the TV. I'm gonna go listen to what the Braves are doing on the ump. They actually do a pretty good job of filling in time for rain delays. Do the Braves crew. In fact, the Braves have been delayed over 14 hours because of rain this year. That's the most in the majors.
Seven of it was the one Nationals game, right?
Well, it still counts. But the Braves, that's the most in all of baseball, any team being delayed by weather.
How baseball is it that someone knows that?
It's a very interesting stat that Kevin McAlvin put out there last night. So Braves go for 500 again tonight.
I mean, is there an official log of...
There's somewhere.
We're not going to force you to play a doubleheader tomorrow because you've already had the most time postponed than any team in the league.
But if you have an extra hour of waiting, there's a lot of research you can do in that time.
That's true. I want to spend a little time talking some NFL and some of these moves that are happening and, I guess, not happening. First being Kirk Cousins. He and Washington unable to come to an agreement on a long-term deal, so he'll play under the franchise tender this year. Which is going to give him a pretty big chunk of change to go play football this year. But this is also Kirk Cousins sort of betting on himself that he can go out and have a monster year, have a big year, and be someone who can go hit the market and potentially be a guy that looks at $60, $70 million guaranteed. Is it smart on his part to sort of bet on himself in a one-year deal, especially at that position? Now, Washington's got a pretty good offensive line. I think the defense can be much better this year. But, wow, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks playing the, all right, I'll play under the franchise tag for a year, and then I'm going to come back and get huge money maybe somewhere else. I mean, teams like San Francisco probably already eyeballing a guy like Kirk Cousins coming up in 2018 if he did decide to walk from Washington.
Yeah, you know what the strange thing about this deal was is that they were going to give him like $53 million or something guaranteed, but that was including the $24 million he was going to get this year for the franchise tag. And so Kirk didn't really want that. Kirk Cousins clearly was a little smarter than that. His agent's like, wait a minute. We're already getting $24 million this year. Why are you putting that in the guarantee plus another $29 million over? I think there's a six-year contract. So 6 years, another 5 years at 20, that would make it, what, $29 million guaranteed? That's not a huge deal for a quarterback who has been the best quarterback that Washington has had in a long time.
Yeah, no, not even close.
So clearly it was smart for them to take the franchise tag. He's going to get $23.9 this year. That contract also was going to be guaranteed for 2 years, and then it was going to be like 4 one-year options for the team. And I don't know, like, they just must not like Kirk Cousins that much.
I mean, do you think part of this is personal? And they released Washington releases a statement on this yesterday. How many teams, when they don't get a deal done with somebody, are publicly releasing a statement about anything having to do with the terms or how and why they came to a deal? New England's not doing that. Pittsburgh's not doing that.
Or like, this is what we were going
to
do.
Yeah, Green Bay's not putting a release out as to why or why not they came to an agreement with a free agent.
And if there's any team out there in the NFL that's known for giving a lot of money to guys who may or may not deserve it, it's probably Washington.
It was, at least.
And the fact that you got this guy who's been franchised the last 2 years, who's put up much better numbers than any Washington quarterback has in a long time, and you're not willing to guarantee him more than just a couple of years, you must not like him very much as a quarterback. You can't. I don't know if they just think they're like, let's see if we keep doing this for 4 years, maybe we'll eventually give him a contract.
It's a real thing that Bruce Allen of the Redskins released yesterday. After discussions with Kirk face-to-face over the weekend, I want to clarify our negotiations for this year. Kirk is obviously important to our team and fans, and they deserve to know where things stand. Our goal was to sign Kirk to a long-term contract with the final objective of having him finish his career with the Redskins. On May 2nd, right after the draft, we made Kirk an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history, $53 million guaranteed, and a total of $72 million for injury. The deal would have made him at least the second highest paid player by average year in NFL history. But despite our repeated attempts, we have not received any offer from Kirk's agent this year. Kirk has made it clear that he prefers to play on a year-to-year basis. While we would have liked to have worked out a long-term contract before this season, we accept his decision. We both share high hopes for this season, and we are looking forward to training camp starting next week, and we remain hopeful that a long-term contract will be signed in the future.
Let's think about this logically. Any quarterback out there, any NFL player out there, want to play on a year-to-year contract?
I'm going to go with no.
No. No one wants to play on a year-to-year contract unless the offer you're getting is so absurd that you won't even counter the offer.
That was a publicly released statement by the Redskins front office.
Yeah, he won't be in Washington next year.
That's the only thing. The only solution that I can come up to is, he wants to play on a one-year deal, but that's code for I have to play in a one-year deal in order to get out of here.
And it's also code for you're guaranteeing me $24 million for 1 year, and I would have made nearly $50 million. Let's see, 20 last year, so nearly $50 million. The last 2 years.
Yeah, they're on the hook for $49 million pretty much the last 2 years. The Redskins are for Cousins. So it's not like he's not getting paid.
Ha, 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 ha. Cashing them checks. And apparently it's a big thing for Kirk Cousins, who wants to be respected and wants to at least be like somebody who is thought of as the franchise guy, but he's not being treated like that.
Do you think that there's any part of that statement from Bruce Allen that is baseball status? When you think of sort of the phrasing of
could
that.
Be the highest overall contract by guaranteed money for a quarterback ever.
An offer included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history and guaranteed a total of $72 million for injury. The deal would have made him at least the second highest paid player by average per year in NFL history. That sounds baseballish to me. It's like, oh, well, we can tweak these numbers to make it sound like there's only one other guy that's ever made more money than you.
Well,
but that's not reality.
Well, again, one of those years included this year, which they had to. So $23.9 million is going to make you pretty high up there anyway.
Yeah.
The $72 million is only guaranteed if you get hurt. You know, bank on getting hurt? I mean, bank on some, like, you know, remember in Leighton Shaq's career when he takes some surgeries late into the, like, late into the offseason and be like, yeah, I'm going to sit out, but I have this, still get this full money going.
Now the issue will be, where is Washington the last third of the season, and how do they handle play calling or even playing time for Kirk Cousins? Because we know this is a thing. We hear this all the time. Whether it's an incentive deal and a guy needs two more rushing touchdowns to get an extra million, whatever. If Washington is not in the playoff hunt, is Kirk Cousins number one playing, and is Kirk Cousins allowed to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game?
Or do we see a lot of intentional groundings?
I don't know about that. But
throwing that down.
Maybe a lot of running the football.
Sign me up.
I mean, it's crazy because they really have addressed that defense. And I think Trent Williams is one of the best left tackles in the league. The offensive line is going to be pretty good this year. They've gone after some receivers. Some have worked, some haven't. But man, I feel like
Garcon's still there. I mean, they got Jonathan Allen they drafted for crying out loud.
And Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, so that's not
Carricker up front. They got some dudes on that defensive line. I really feel like they're finally, under Daniel Snyder, starting to head in the right direction as opposed to let's go find the highest-priced 40-year-old free agent that was once great and sign him and hope that he can revitalize his career here. I feel like they're heading in the right direction, and they've drafted well the last 2 years, which is odd for them. And now this just seems like a no-brainer. Kirk Cousins is great. Get the deal done. Lock up your franchise guy.
I know people want to say some of the clutch time, he didn't perform nearly as well. Look at his numbers.
All right, who are you going to get?
Look at his numbers and then see what's out there next.
Yeah, who are you getting? If he walks away next year, who are you getting?
Well, hopefully if they suck enough, they can go find themselves a USC quarterback at number one overall
pick. Oh, you'll start over again.
Seems like how they're playing this.
Also, Le'Veon Bell did not sign his franchise tender, so he's not obligated to be at camp. Steelers may not see him until late August. This is just you don't.
Is that a big deal for you, the running back?
You don't play the old Wild West standoff with the Steelers. You just don't. You don't do it. I understand from Le'Veon's perspective that he probably wants to be paid like the best back in the league and wants to be paid like a top five player in the league. But the dude's also been suspended a lot, and he's also been a headache, and he's also been in trouble. And if there's a position that I think Pittsburgh probably feels like they can go find another guy at, it'd be that one. Now, are they going to find a guy who can do what he can do? No, probably not. But you can find somebody pretty close and then allow your franchise quarterback to throw a lot of passes to your franchise receiver and your other two or three really good receivers behind a good offensive line with a defense that's going to help win you some games. So, I mean, that it's surprising to me that he thinks he can sort of go toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh front office. It's not going to end up well. I think this is him just trying to buy some time and probably not have to be in camp early because he knows what he's capable of doing. It's like you said with that Hall of Fame game. We're not going to see Le'Veon Bell in any preseason games for the Steelers. So
I don't really need to.
No, I think he's just buying time.
By the way, Hall of Fame game will be on the first football game of the year, August 3rd. That's not that far away.
Let's get to 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweet!
Dallas and Arizona. So I get to see Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott for half a play each. Which, by the way, if Ezekiel Elliott doesn't stop getting in trouble, I may not have to see him the whole year anyway.
Did they get rid of all those backup running backs, or they still got some? Like Lance Dunbar and Darren McFadden, and they used to have like 17 running backs that were good at one point in their career.
Yeah, at one point in their career. Listen, the year before Ezekiel Elliott,
who's
2 years
ago,
with Darren McFadden,
they got Alfred Blue. They signed Alfred Blue for a minute, right?
Yeah, they did.
So who's left?
I think Dunbar. Let me look. I think Dunbar's still in the
team. He's kind of like a kick returner. Buddy Rushing tweets, at Cole Kublik, been making people hashtag mad online, haven't you? Don't you know that it's your responsibility to confirm all the unreasonable personal biases on Twitter? Todd Blass also tweets. This goes back to, I had a mini rant earlier about people who just constantly want to gamble with me in any game that they ask me about that they disagree with. At Todd Blass responds, third grade playground arguments very similar. There was always that kid that said, nuh-uh, want to bet?
So it's Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys, Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris, and Jahad Thomas. Dunbar no longer on the team. But yeah, I mean, let's just... who of all these guys are on the roster right now, who's going to be on the roster?
Probably Zeke Elliott will be on there.
Okay. All right, okay. I'm sure.
How about this for some numbers, Arkishay? Lucas Shaw tweets, Netflix added 5.2 million subscribers in the quarter. It's the most ever added in the second quarter. 4.14 of those came from outside the United States.
Wow.
Added 5.2 million subscribers last quarter. That's 50 million.
That's minimum, right?
I'm just saying in fees.
Well, I said minimum because you can like go up to like the higher fee. Like my in-laws
get
the DVDs that come in like the mail, and that's like an extra like $5 or $6 a month.
What did you just say to me?
My in-laws get the DVDs to come in the mail. DVD. They're these plastic things that people used to. Do you not do DVD? You know what DVDs are?
They actually have them send them to them?
Yeah, Netflix does
that. And they got to send them back?
Yeah.
You know how much time they could save by just like getting an Apple TV?
But I don't, well.
It's like $100.
Listen, these are the same people that when I showed up for like our, every year for our Super Bowl party, they're watching like the TV in standard def still. I'm like, you know there's a high definition channel for everything, right?
They're the reason that Mayweather McGregor is going to have the $89 option?
Well, they just never think about it. I'm like, but you're, okay.
You got to go think for them.
I know. I go in there, I'm like, you know Fox is on HD channel too, right? So I'm immediately like, no, they're never concerned. I'm like, I get it. You grew up with standard def. So did I. But I also recognize high definitions out there. But anyway, they do the two DVDs. You can have them out as much as you want kind of thing.
Wow.
And that's like another $5 a month. So there's people doing that.
Yeah, that's a couple months they could have an Apple TV. And don't have to deal with DVDs. Man, that seems like a lot of trouble. I want to know what you think about this. Mark J. Spears, at Mark J. Spears ESPN tweets, the Celtics have signed Paul Pierce to a contract, enabling him to retire with the Celtics, to whom he spent his first 15 NBA seasons. I think this is the dumbest thing in sports.
The one-day contracts?
To retire as.
Right.
What? Are we going to remember you any differently? Do we remember Jerry Rice any differently for signing the one-day deal to retire as a 49er?
Didn't Emmitt Smith sign a one-day deal to get back to Dallas after being in Arizona?
I mean, this has to be one of the dumbest things that sports teams do. You're going to retire his jersey. You're going to bring him back for some kind of special night. No, it's dumb. What does it do? Like, where in the lore of sports does it show up? Paul Pierce, retired as Celtic. Does that show up?
I think it's 100% a fan thing.
Like on his tombstone?
He's retired as one of us.
Stop.
He retired as a Celtic. All right, put up the four-leaf clover. That's our guy. Let's not remember him as a Clipper. No one should ever remember him. He never played as a Clipper, really, technically. If you look at his minutes, he never really played as a Clipper. Yeah, of course. This is just a fan thing. It's a PR thing. He's not getting paid for that day. So I'm sure if I was the Celtics, I'd be like, having to clear out everybody just to get Gordon Hayward. So we're not putting you on any kind of a cash contract here. You're one of these expiring contracts is what we'll put you as. Expiring at the end of the day. In fact, we'll expire by two. Did you see him, like, putting on, like, sneakers? I think did he go out to, like, shoot some hoops with somebody?
He probably wanted to get a workout in. Get to use that facility one last time. Darren Revelle tweets, no long-term deal reached for Kirk Cousins. Will make 23.9 next season or 1.408 per game.
You know, I'd like to punch people in the mouth who really love these per whatever stats.
Well, they actually get – but they get paid per game. They get game checks.
Right.
So he will get $1.4 million checks throughout the course of the season.
But the thing is, we know that 23.9 means a lot per game. In fact, I love when people say, especially when somebody doesn't do too well, it's like, that's a $75,000 per completion. Like, okay. Thanks, man.
You want to see?
You can do basic math. I'm with you, bro.
You want to see the difference in value and position? Cousins, under that tag, will plank 23.9. Steelers and Le'Veon Bell unable to reach agreement today. Bell, oh, I'm sorry, this is Adam Schefter. Bell will play this season under $12.1 million tag, become free agent next year.
Yes.
So only an $11, $12 million difference there.
Well, it's, you know, it's one touches the ball all the time. The other does not. Thinking you talk about, like, defensive tackles, especially defensive ends getting some of this big money. Like, what was Von Miller's contract? Like $1 billion?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It wasn't a billion. It was close to $100 million.
We'll talk
big... Dominic Sue got like $80 million or something. It's like...
We'll talk Big 12 Media Days with Sam Kahn and Bruce Feldman next hour, but Pat 40 at Yahoo 40 tweets 21 hours ago. Gary Pattern was with an interesting observation on Bob Stoops. Quote, I never did hear him say he wouldn't be back in the sport.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Did you ask the specific question?
By the way, somebody on Twitter last night asked me to rank my top five Big 12 defenses. Is that the equivalent of choosing which way of being sentenced to death is the best?
Wow. Rank your top five. Rank your top five execution methods.
Is that even a thing?
Like, firing squad.
Stoned.
Guillotine. Lethal injection, electric chair.
There you go.
That's my order.
That's the equivalent of Oklahoma, TCU, coin toss, coin toss, coin toss.
Two I kind of like. In fact, one maybe a lot.
Two are a little bit better than the others, but none seem favorable at all.
Yeah, I'm dying at the end of all of them anyway, right? So.
Which is basically what has happened there. Defense has died in the entire conference. Back with more Cube Show after this.
Oh, yeah, Cole Kublik. It's 7:30 in the morning. That means it's 30 before the top of the hour. Right here on the Cube Show, the Abby Award winner. Got a chance for you to win some John Heffron tickets coming up at Stand Up Live this weekend. Very, very funny guy with our joke of the day. Get ready with the text number, because after our joke of the day, I'll give you a chance to win tickets to see John Heffron. The number to text in, 910-663-5663. I'll give you the phrase that pays coming up right after the joke of the day.
Wow.
That's right. John Heffron will be at Stand Up Live this weekend.
Right? Because here's the deal, okay? My dad never laid a hand on any of us, but yet we all thought he would kill us at any given time. And that sounds good. That's exactly what I want, right? So I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, hey, how did you do that thing where we were so afraid of you? He goes, here's the deal, John. You're too nice a guy. You got to go eat in front of everybody. I'm like, what? He goes, you got to pick up a coffee table and chuck it through a window. I'm like, what? He goes, pick up a coffee table and chuck it through a window and smile at everybody as you're doing it. And that made me think back as a kid. That's exactly what my dad did, right? Here's what he did. My dad retired from UPS, worked third shift, which means he got home at 7 in the morning. 7 in the morning, that's when he'd kick all of us outside. Young guy, this is back when it was legal to boot everybody out of the house and lock the door to make sure we didn't get back in. People, I gotta tell you, I was gone for 14 hours. I don't remember anybody coming looking for me. I'm gone 14 hours playing on crap I know I shouldn't have played on, like this weird-ass big green box in between the houses that hummed and was like 40 degrees warmer than the temperature outside. But I remember this one particular day, my dad woke us up, was marching us down the hall, and for no reason at all, the guy stops, turns, put his fist through the bathroom door, looks at me and goes, I come home one more time and see a bike in the driveway, I run it over, pick up your stuff. Then he'd walk a little bit further, bam, kick in another door, look at my sister, if you're not going to drink a full can of pop, don't open it, right? And then he'd walk a little bit further, bam, punch another, we're all up against the wall going, holy crap, the guy's insane. Did you get the trash cans at the bottom of the driveway? He's going to kill us all. Only to find out now as an adult, that dude had plans on replacing all the doors in that hallway anyway.
John Heffron will be at Stand Up Live this week. You can get your tickets at standuplive.com. Or how about this? How about win them right now instead? So text in to 910-663-563. The phrase that pays is Angry Dad. That's right, Angry Dad to 910-663-5663. And before you text, remember, this is one of the cool things we're going to do this week. We've never done this before at Stand Up Live and Us, but you're going to be able to pick your show you go to. You're going Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. One show Thursday, two shows Friday, and two shows Saturday. You can text in, and if you win, you get to pick your show. How awesome is that? For the first time ever, we've done that. You can actually pick the show you want to go to. That's Angry Dad to 910-663-5663.
Angry Dad.
910-663-5663.
I'm always intrigued by what you decide to go with that you pull out from these sound clips.
Yeah. Sometimes I choose their name. Sometimes I choose something funny like Angry Dad, which is not as cool as an app game as Angry Birds, but, you know.
It would be funny to have, like, Angry Dad faces and you slingshot them across the screen.
Oh, that would be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Like, guys with
there's, like, a beer and there's, like, a barbecue. You got to try to grab them.
Oh.
With the faces.
The faces with, like,
there's a lawnmower trying to get you and, like, trash.
Mullets,
take
mustaches.
Trash out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dad bods.
Dad bods.
I think we just came up with an app.
I know we just came up with an app.
Nobody,
let's make some money.
Nobody steal that from us, please.
Oh, we're gonna know where it came from if you did.
All right, we're talking Big 12 Media Days next hour. Mike Griffith's coming up at 7:40 this morning. I did want to ask you just about concerning Big 12 Media Days. We kind of went through yesterday as to do we think that this team has or this conference has multiple teams that compete for a national title or spot in the national title playoff. Oklahoma's going to be there, obviously. But, and by the way, I ranked Oklahoma as my number one offensive line returning in college football yesterday and had Oklahoma fans complaining about it. Because there was one,
like a new one.
There was one Oklahoma fan that stated, feels like the way he stated it, he obviously doesn't know me, and it's like it being the same guy in the room. I like when people tag you and say, well, he said this. It's like, hey, I'm right here. I can hear you. He said, the way he stated it sounds like he thinks there's a pretty big gap between one and the rest. It's like, no, not really. I just said that Oklahoma's a team that doesn't have to move guys around. The rest of those groups are going to have to move a player or two.
Uh-huh.
Like Auburn's fourth on the list. Braden Smith has to move to tackle.
Sure.
Bama's two. They have to move Jonah Williams from right to left. Still a move. So, and then I get a couple different guys coming in saying, that's not necessarily true. Drew could come back and go to guard and kick so-and-so to tackle. And I'm like, guys, we can't be happy with number one. We can't be happy being first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we can do to be happy.
Is there like a butt sooner out there? Like is it like
butt boomer?
Butt boomer
is what it is.
That sounds like something I rented before.
Stop it. Let's take a break. We'll be back with Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com next. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 1039. The Ump, Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining the show now. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Coming back from SEC Media Days, Butch Jones obviously running through the car wash up at ESPN yesterday. What were your thoughts just of how he handled himself yesterday on the ESPN platforms and down in Hoover at SEC Media Days?
I thought Butch was fine. You know, I thought he was forthcoming. I thought he answered questions. You know, there was news. He put news out there about the captain change and spoke more about the two quarterbacks. I thought it was very standard coach activity. I didn't find any issues with it at all. But it was pretty clear to me, Cole, that there were a lot of media that were intending to stir up things with Butch Jones.
What do you think his confidence level is coming into this season, Mike?
I'd say quietly confident. I think he feels really good about Tennessee, but knows better than to say too much. I mean, you certainly don't want to put your foot in your mouth. I think Butch has a lot more confidence in the team than most of the fans, because he's seen what he has. He's seen what he has in Quentin Dormady. He's seen the impact that Rock Gullickson's made in the weight room. And, you know, for the fans, I think it's a little harder to take that leap of faith, having not seen a whole lot of these players and not really haven't seen the impact of the new coaching staff yet. But I think that those things give Butch a lot of confidence going into this year.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining us now on the phones. And we were talking a little bit earlier in the show, Mike, just about offenses and offensive coordinators and how the offensive coordinator role may be a little bit bigger and mean more in the league this year, just because there's not the immense pool of talent along the defensive lines and front sevens like there was last year, like we're accustomed to in the SEC. What are you expecting from Tennessee's offense with Larry Scott as the OC and the play caller?
Well, Cole, I think it's all relative from year to year as far as how big this coordinator is versus that coordinator, this position or that. But yeah, I think Larry's he's a little bit more prototypical in his approach. You know, I know Butch likes to use tempo, and I think you'll still see a little bit of that. But Tennessee's offense, like any other offense or effective offense, is going to be built around, you know, their skill and their experience. And this is a team that's going to lean on the offensive line. And, you know, 111 combined starts, and, you know, plug Trey Smith in there somewhere because he's as legit of a true freshman as I've ever seen. I know I've compared him to Willie Anderson on this show, but he's actually in better shape than Willie was. I think it's going to be a pretty tough offensive line. We do have questions about the depth at running back and at receiver. But as far as a go-to receiver, I think Juwan Jennings is as good as any receiver in the league. And I think that John Kelly is a pretty strong running back. There's a lot of great running backs in the league. I would put John Kelly in that category with four or five of them. So I wonder a little bit about the depth of the skill positions. But other than that, I think this offense is pretty solid.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining us. We shared your article yesterday on air that you wrote referencing Dave Matter in Missouri, picking Missouri over Tennessee in the East. I've caught some grief having Tennessee finishing fourth in the East with my SEC East preseason predictions. Where do you see the Vols finishing as far as standings at the end of the season?
Probably second or third. I think that, you know, Florida's got such a huge advantage with their schedule. And, you know, give Florida credit. I mean, they really pulled one over on the SEC. They got two bye weeks last year, and they ended up with an extra home game this year. That should have never happened. I know Greg Sankey well enough to know that will never happen again. I mean, he got snookered there. And, give Florida credit. They got five home games this year. And last year they ended up with two bye weeks out of that whole thing, and that's unfortunate, but that's what happened. I think that's a huge advantage for Florida. I think Georgia's got a lot coming back, Cole. I think they're probably the most talented team in the East. That doesn't mean they're going to win it, you know, but it is year two with Kirby and his coaches, and I think that program will make this a big step, because in year two the players are that much more familiar with the schemes and the ideals and the way the program is run. You could say Georgia make a big leap. And I think Tennessee's going to be pretty good too. I just think their schedule it is what it is. I mean, Butch isn't going to say it. Fans don't want to say it. But it's not fair. It's not fair when you play Alabama every year and nobody else in the East does. And Tennessee plays Alabama on the road. That's tough. And I don't see other SEC East teams doing that. And that's probably why you picked Kentucky. I would guess Kentucky was the team you picked ahead of them, because Tennessee drew Alabama and LSU, and Kentucky plays Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And that's 25% of your schedule. That makes a big difference.
Schedule's a huge part of it, Mike. And it's kind of hilarious to me that people can't see that. Number one, that Tennessee could beat Kentucky and still finish behind them very easily based on that schedule. I mean, it happened with Florida last year. It's not a crazy concept. And then number two, it's not only the two teams from the West that each team gets, but, I mean, Kentucky goes a month and a week in the middle of the season with one road game. Three of their SEC road opponents all went 3-5 in conference a year ago. A couple Cush teams early in the schedule to sort of get their bearings straight. So,
right? Right.
The entire Tucky schedule is really there's not much to not like about it when you're comparing it to other SEC schedules, including a team like Tennessee.
Yeah, no, you're right, Cole. And schedule is a huge part of it, and schedule was a huge part of it last year. And again, I don't know why people don't understand that, but you know, do people realize that Tennessee opened last season playing four teams that were FBS division champs, and then played at Georgia, and then played at Texas A&M, and then were home to Alabama? I'll be honest, Colt, that's as difficult of an early season schedule as I've ever seen in terms of seven straight weeks of play. That Virginia Tech game was a neutral site game. And oh, by the way, Virginia Tech was a pretty good football team. And for the people that don't understand the difference between an Appalachian State and an Indiana State, I'll remind you that Clemson only beat Troy by 7 points. And Appalachian State won that league last year. So, and Ohio's coached by Frank Solich. And these are teams that, yes, Tennessee should beat. But these are teams that if you don't show up to play, can pull the upset. And so Tennessee didn't have that break or didn't have that cush game. And one of these shows, Cole, you should probably explain to people the difference between playing a team that you're going to beat. Like, remember the directional Louisiana schools and how much coaches could get out of those glorified scrimmages versus playing a Southern Miss? Well, that's there is a difference.
Visiting with Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. Do you believe that this team needs to get off to a certain start just from a mentality and attitude standpoint if they're going to put together a team that finishes first, second in the SEC East, Mike?
I think that's true of all teams, Cole, but particularly a team with a new quarterback where there's another quarterback behind him, because what you don't want is division in the locker room. What you don't want is the players second-guessing who's under center. And in a football crazy town like Tennessee, where you can literally, you know, go outside and, you know, wet your finger and stick it up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing, you can feel what kind of football season Tennessee's having, you know, in 2 hours in Knoxville. Just look around at the people and see how much orange there is or isn't. So for those reasons, I think it's particularly important for Tennessee. But I think it's important for any team now, because more and more we're seeing some of these seniors, you know, they were talking last year, Cole, and I know this probably makes your blood boil, but some of these guys sitting out bowl games, you don't think someone's going to start sitting out November too now? So, and in fact, I think that's probably already started. But I do think it's important to get off to a good start for Tennessee and for most teams.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into that debate, Mike, because it's one that infuriates me. But we always appreciate the time. Good stuff. Look forward to catching up next week.
I appreciate it, Paul.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. I tell you, if and when that day happens, that's going to be a dark day for college football. If there's a team that realistically is just even in the running to win a conference championship, and a player decides 2 weeks left in the season, hey, I'm shutting it down. I'm leaving school. I'm going to go train. That's going to be a sad day for college football when that happens. Really, all of football, honestly, because you're just admitting that so many other things are more important than actually playing the game, and that playing the game is not near as important as it should be anymore.
But don't
I'm not going to get too depressed about it because it hasn't happened yet. But
don't you already kind of feel that way with bowl games and sometimes with someone like Leonard Fournette not necessarily pressing the issue to get back at the end
of
the season?
Listen, Leonard Fournette was a different deal. I've tried to explain this on the surface without going into great detail. I don't think Leonard Fournette was allowed to play in the bowl game. And I credit Ed Orgeron for taking the bullet for that. That's my opinion. My opinion is that because of some things happening around the program, it was not worth it to LSU for him to play in that bowl game. And Ed Orgeron said, listen, we know what's going on. Why don't I take the bullet for this, and we'll just say that you need to go train and get ready for the NFL. This will be on me. You're going to look good here, but we can't have you. Why would he not just go with the team? Was he at the game?
I don't think he was, but
because I don't think that from an NCAA standpoint, they could go anywhere near that. That's okay. Just my opinion.
All right, and that may be fine.
Now, McCaffrey, a different deal.
as I was saying, that may be fine in his case, but for other players who sit out ball games for issues that show up, random hamstring pulls.
I don't like it.
Auburn's guys do it. Everybody's had guys
I don't
do
like it. I'll never like it. You know, you can throw the Jake Butt scenario at me all you want, but the reality is Jake Butt probably loves playing football, and he went out there to play that game because it was a big game for his school and a big game for him. Back with more Cube Show after this.